You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, sweet baby Sarah is just shocked with the death of the lead, one of the lead singers of One Direction.
My God.
Yeah. What was it? His last name is fading on me. Liam was his
Payne.
First. Payne, thank you. I'm not trying to minimize any of his contributions to music or his life or anything. He was probably the least well-known member of that five-member band.
No details on what happened, nor will we speculate.
Fell from a hotel balcony.
Horribly tragic at age 31.
Some of the stories are saying roof. Some are saying third-floor balcony.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Yeah.
A secretive U.S. spaceship is about to attempt unprecedented flight maneuvers above Earth.
Yeah.
Did we need the above Earth added there? If it was a flight maneuver, isn't it always going to be above Earth?
It would be kind of tough to do it below Earth.
That's typically where planes are.
Yeah. This is a spaceship, Dan. This is a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
The X-37B orbital test vehicle, a.k.a. the OTV-7, is an experimental space plane operated by the Space Force. Little has been revealed about the purpose of the vehicle. An official painting of the X-37B unveiled last year depicted the futuristic vehicle intercepting a satellite, positioning to disable a friendly satellite. The Space Force has now announced the X-37B will begin executing a series of novel maneuvers called aerobraking.
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 Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, totally a UFO.
So it pulled over a satellite?
Basically, yes. That was positioning to intercept another satellite. Okay.
Wow, from the text line.
Sam, will you put this in the pronouncer? Because it looks like Vodou, but I believe it's Voodoo. V-O-D-O-U.
I saw this. It's making a comeback, and they're trying to educate people about what this is.
Right. And
Voodoo.
So, say it again.
Voodoo.
Okay, so it must be a new spelling of voodoo, which when we were kids was V-O-O-D-O-O.
Well, that's the voodoo. English version.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
But V-O-D-O-U is the Creole.
French Creole.
French
yes.
version.
Okay, this story from the Kansas City Star. If asked to describe voodoo, a lot of people probably would say the religion involves dark magic, zombies, handmade dolls pierced with needles. It does not. Those things, however, are a misconstrued representation of a misunderstood religion, and some might be surprised to learn the truth about how a growing number of voodoo and other similar African-based religions are truly practiced here in Kansas City and elsewhere. Voodoo, like many other religions, is about spiritual healing, enlightenment, community. For many years, the voodoo faithful have kept their beliefs quiet and practiced their religion in private, fearful of any repercussions they might endure due to longstanding taboos surrounding the worship of deities and the intentional spread of misinformation. And that's the length of that story.
It says possession, an important dimension of voodoo worship, is among the least understood aspects of the religion. You know how I feel about religion. Leave me alone. Wait, if you're not hurting anybody else,
that's fine.
You go be religious in whatever way you want.
Possession like having wealth or possession like a spirit?
Demonic.
Okay.
Well, I don't know that it's demonic in nature, but yes.
Spiritual in nature.
Yes, that would be the definition we are talking about.
Okay.
I don't know that I've ever met anybody who is a follower of the voodoo religion, but during the news break that Dan just did at the top of the hour, I learned more than I ever thought I would about voodoo.
Now you know.
Is this a New Orleans thing, Dan?
It's Haitian.
Yes, but here.
You will find it, of course, in South Florida and New Orleans and anywhere you might find a Haitian expat community.
Okay.
For those that might follow voodoo.
There is no central authority in the voodoo religion. They don't have the equivalent of a pope, so to speak.
Correct. Developed over the years after people were taken from Africa as slaves.
Developed between the 16th and 19th centuries, I've learned, Dan.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And are dolls part of that, or is that something else?
No, they're making the argument, these followers of voodoo, That's just one of the misrepresentations of their religion, that they don't make dolls and then stab them with needles to make the person that the doll's supposed to represent
feel
the pain.
Okay. Right?
Now, once all this stuff entered, you know, the Hollywood and the movies and fiction, and they just run with it, and a lot of assumptions are made.
Yeah, okay. A story here from the Associated Press. A new study compiling decades of fatal motorcycle crashes is being released by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, which is pushing for stricter state road safety laws. The study suggests that 20,000 motorcyclists who died in crashes in the U.S. since the mid-1970s would have survived if stronger helmet laws had been in place in their states. The organization said that 22,058 motorcyclist lives could have been saved in every state had they required all riders to wear helmets from 1976 to 2022. Only 17 states and the District of Columbia have such laws in place.
Listen to some of these statistics. The overwhelming majority of all motorcycle accidents, this surprises me, are head-on collisions. When frontal accidents happen when a vehicle crosses the center line of the road, either turning in front of the motorcycle.
Oh, I see.
So not necessarily the fault of the motorcycle rider.
Well, for whatever
reason.
Someone
turns in front of you.
When they see one set of headlights, it doesn't register. I don't know why.
By the way, and it just said, you know, 22,000 motorcyclist lives could have been saved over that roughly 50-year period. A little short of that. But there were 6,000 motorcyclists who died in 2021 and 6,000 motorcyclists who died in 2022.
Leading cause of death, head injury, or TBI.
The rate of helmet use has increased both in places with and without mandatory helmet laws. 6,000 every year?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. In fact, the last number I see for this was 2015. The fatality rate for motorcycle riders is 6 times greater than the fatality rate for those inside of a car. That can't surprise you.
6 times higher. Not 6% higher. Six times
higher.
913-586-7798. Now, granted, and listen, I'm not blaming any victims here, but I'm sure a lot of these are because, as Sam and Dana were just pointing out, people see one headlight, for whatever reason, it doesn't register, and they go ahead and make that turn. Motorcyclist plows right into the side of that car. But some of the behavior that I've seen just recently, and I know this is anecdotal, that I've seen recently with some of these guys on crotch rockets, I'm surprised they ever make it home. It is incredible. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. We are talking about this story from the Associated Press. And they talk about how many motorcyclists would have been saved, not lost their lives, had stronger helmet laws been in place between the mid-1970s and 2022. But I was taken aback, and I think it caught Dana's attention too, that 6,000 motorcyclists were killed in 2021. 6,000 more died in 2022, the most recent years they have for that kind of data.
Overall, we have seen traffic fatalities spike. Hate to bring up since the pandemic.
That's true.
But with higher speeds and all of those things, it would not surprise me if the same would be true for a spike in motorcycle deaths. It's not always the motorcycle rider's fault. In fact, I think most good, responsible motorcycle riders would tell you it's everybody else around you have to watch out for. Yeah. And if everyone around you is driving a fool, those numbers are going to be worse for the motorcycle rider too.
You know, having been on the show for as long as we have, I'm no fan of seatbelt laws, even though a seatbelt would have kept a scar off my face. I'm not a fan of seatbelt laws unless it is somebody in the car who is under the age of 18. I think they should be required to wear seatbelts. and especially if there's an adult in the car. But I find it fascinating that most people don't even think twice about seatbelt laws. And there's no outcry about, you know, this takes away my personal freedom. But, man, you try to enact a helmet law for motorcyclists.
Bar the door.
Yeah. You're taking away my freedom. But nobody says that when it involves seatbelts. 913-586-7798. Mike in Topeka. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. You know, I got to say, so I'm a motorcycle rider. In fact, I actually rode my motorcycle to work this morning. In my experience, the vast majority of fatality motorcycle accidents are the rider's fault. Because of, like you said, you know, just riding like an idiot and doing stupid things, and you get yourself into a situation that, you know, ends badly for you. But beyond that, I think that, you know, if we're going to do this thing where we pass a law to make helmets mandatory, I think before we go that far, we need to focus on the standard that we use for helmet safety. There are three different standards currently. There's DOT, Snell, and ECE.
Okay.
The DOT standard is what America uses as their baseline minimum. You have to meet this. And I think that's a big problem because the DOT standard doesn't actually provide a whole lot of safety for the rider, whereas ECE, which is basically the upper echelon, the highest tier of safety, does. And they go through extreme rigorous safety testing on their helmets to make sure that they can meet that standard. So if we're going to pass these laws, I think we need to adopt the ECE standard as the American standard.
You know, the way that we adopt standards for all automakers with airbags, with seat belts, the material we use, all of that stuff is regulated. He has a point, Scott.
But see, I'm not in favor of helmet laws in the United States any more than I'm in favor of. Now, granted, I don't have a problem if a motorcyclist wants to wear a helmet; that's their choice. I'm also not in favor of seatbelt laws. Mike in Belton, Mike, hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to it. Adamant rider, not anymore, but a helmet saved my life. And it actually happened to be a DOT helmet that saved my life. And if I wouldn't have had a helmet on, I wouldn't be here today.
How fast were you going when you were in your crash?
We were outside of the bike losing barbecue. I was about 60 mile an hour, and a car pulled out in front of my buddy. And I wasn't paying attention. It was my fault. And I hit him and life flighted from the whole deal. Collarbone, shoulder blade, ribs punctured along. But by the marks on my helmet, if I would not have been wearing one, I definitely would have been.
Were you, Mike, always a helmet wearer, or was this like you thought that one time you would?
Well, so I live in Missouri. So Missouri, it was just kind of standard until they just recently changed it. And then I already had one. We were on a trip, so I chose to wear one that day. Thank God.
Well, that's right. Thank God, because you're still with us, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and it, you know, and I'm kind of twisted on it because you know, I rode, so it's one of those things where some guys want to hop on their bike and not worry about a helmet, or they can't find one, or you know, and but you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, just like seatbelts save lives, I just don't like being told that we have to, but. You know, it saved my life at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, having gone through what I went through, a windshield, I don't get in a car if I don't have a seatbelt on. But Mike, to follow up on your point, I don't want the government telling me that I have to put it on.
We tell people that they have to do things all the time.
But that doesn't make it right.
I rode every day for 2 years, and the furthest I went without a helmet was over to the Target over there from this building right here. And I never was on a street.
And you were in a motorcycle accident.
I got sideswiped by somebody who was texting and driving.
That didn't stop. Is that right?
Nobody stopped. It was rush hour on China Mission
Parkway.
Stopped. No one stopped.
I got thrown off my motorcycle. She didn't stop. I looked her square in the eyes as she hit me. She didn't stop. Nobody else stopped.
That is just remarkable.
I almost would have gotten back on the bike and chased her down.
The bike was destroyed.
Well, actually, I did get back on the bike and ride it home, but I had to wait for the... It was flooded because it had been laying on its side for so long.
Did you ever get a license? Did anything ever come of the... It was a woman, right, that hit you?
I contacted Einstein Bros because that was the only business open in that intersection at the time.
Yep.
Stroud's had already closed. They had a front image of her vehicle, which was a Kansas vehicle.
So no license plate on the front.
Which had no plate.
Hmm.
And could they made out the make and model of the car?
Hmm.
Oh, I know exactly what the make and model was. I looked at it. I also watched her drive away.
Unbelievable.
Standing in the middle of Shawnee Mission Parkway.
I'm also surprised other drivers, if I had seen that, would not have at least followed her to get a license plate.
And nobody ever pulled over to make sure that you were okay?
They obviously stopped as I was in their way. But once I was up on my feet, which was immediately because I pushed off I was sliding on the ground on my palms.
Oh, God.
And I pushed off and ran out of it. And the second that I was up on my feet, people were swerving around me to get around me.
Were your hands just shredded?
Oh, yeah. I came to work the next day and pushed the buttons on the board with my fingertips.
Oh, honey.
They were like, dude, go home. And I was like, I can still do it.
You had gravel palms.
I did. Actually, rocks came out of my palms like 2 months later.
Oh.
Robin in Kearney, Missouri. Hello.
Hi. Hi. I was calling because I was going to tell the story real quick. I'm the same age as Dana. And so in 2000, my husband has ridden motorcycles pretty much all his life. We got in a wreck and had just went upgraded from one of the half skull, you know, helmets or whatever, to a full face. Definitely saved us. I mean, we walked away with hardly any scrapes. Huh. Well, we didn't ride for like 9 years. And then in 2009, he wanted to get another motorcycle. So to your comments, Scott Parks, about crotch rockets, that's what we were riding. So then I got the idea that I was going to get my own driver's license. So I took the class, did everything, and I rode crotch rockets myself. Again, keep this in mind, 2010, I'm the same age as Dane. Well, I'm not saying that crotch rockets aren't bad and people drive crazy on them, but I was telling, I think it was Sam that answered the phone, that I've seen more Harley people or like a traditional cruiser bike drive. I'm on I-35 northbound going to Kearney, drive down the middle of traffic, not crotch rockets.
Wow.
Harley.
But what, Robin, I appreciate
that. Yeah. Go ahead. It scares me being a former rider.
Well, we talked about this the other day. I can't believe this is coming up twice.
My experience is completely opposite of Robin's. Yeah. I've never seen a cruiser or traditional motorbike rider lane splitting. Every time I've ever seen a motorcyclist lane split, it's always been on a crotch rocket.
And unbeknownst to us until this week, lane splitting, as in driving between cars in traffic, is legal in some states.
California and Utah.
Actually, in California, it's not only legal, it is taught.
Yeah, it's encouraged in California. And by the way, there are 7 states with bills that have been written, not yet passed, that would legalize lane splitting, including the state of Missouri.
When we get back, we've got Weights and Fish.
Okay.
I was ill-prepared. I would have had the soundbite
ready. We got Weights and Fish.
There we go!
It's not in fishing.
String them up.
There is a scandal that has rocked the world of competitive chess.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to need everyone to brace themselves. Maybe put a helmet on. I don't know if we'll have time.
First person that says chess is a sport gets kicked off the air.
We got Weights and Fish.
There we go. There we go. String them up. 913-586-7798.
Pawn to Rook 4.
We got Weights and Fish.
There we go. Don't forget, you can sign up. We still have just a couple of slots left for the Dana and Parks 4th Annual Cornhole Tournament. It is this Saturday at Serve in Overland Park. All the proceeds go to benefit the KC Pet Project. Every single dime that we raise through your generosity. You can register your cornhole team at kmbz.com.
Well, I hope everyone's sitting down because a top chess player has been disqualified.
Oh, my word.
After a burner phone was discovered in a bathroom.
There we go. Okay. Say the.
It wasn't Weights and Fish, Scott. It was a burner phone in the bathroom. Kirill Shevchenko, common spelling, a grandmaster representing Romania, has been accused of getting assistance from a computer in the middle of his game.
Okay.
He's been expelled from the event in Spain. He's accused of cheating by using a phone during bathroom breaks between moves.
Checkmate.
Not so fast.
Eyebrows were raised when Shevchenko had been going to the restroom for extended periods of time during the games.
When you gotta poop, you gotta poop.
How many times has he pooped?
He's got GI issues.
Officials started searching the stalls he was using and found a phone, which could have been used to get help from a computer program showing him which maneuvers to go to next.
See, the other method that we've talked about in the past is much more sneaky.
Doesn't it involve a shoe?
It involves a certain item that is remote controlled that you put in your shoe. That item is something that we cannot describe.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
On the radio.
So the phone found in the bathroom, the mystery deepens, if you will.
Of course.
The phone found in the bathroom had a handwritten note on it saying, "Do not touch. This telephone has been left here, so the owner may answer it at night."
Okay.
What? This phone is not a burner phone used for cheating in the sport of chess.
It's, first of all, it's not a sport. 5-minute timeout.
The handwriting was similar to Mr. Shevchenko's, and the ink resembled the ink of a pen that he had used in the past.
So why is it that when, like, when you hear about cheating in actual sports, like baseball and football, mm-hmm. like the Astros banging the trash can or Deflategate with Tom Brady, et cetera, mm-hmm. The world is just aghast. And it's like, oh my God, how could they? Mm-hmm. They're cheating. This is just crazy talk. But then when we got people cheating in fishing or chess, mm-hmm. I have a completely different take, and it's that they're just gigantic nerds.
Cheating is not unknown, by the way, in the chess world.
Is there a community of
chess
players? Yes,
there is, Scott. And one of the highest profile incidents in recent years, you will recall, happened in St. Louis a couple of years ago.
That was the...
The toe tapping.
It wasn't tapping.
It was toe vibrating.
Was a shocking story.
There was they were using a device often found at a Cirilla's.
That is correct, yeah.
In Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To provide tips on... which move to make.
We'll keep our eyes on that
story.
Which,
by the way, has to be an intricate system in and of itself.
What happens? Oh.
How do you identify what move you're supposed to make by the series of shakes coming from your shoe?
What they were saying in this burner phone in the bathroom with the note on it that said, "Do not touch, this is not for cheating in chess," is that he would leave to use the restroom for extended periods of time and then come back and then just rapidly make several rapid fire maneuvers without even thinking. Well, he was a little too adept.
Need to make the moves before I forget them.
It's just
obviously
maneuvers.
Dorks.
Still a bigger fan of the item in the shoe.
So are many people, Sam. Leave it there.
I feel like we're rapidly coming to a point where they're just going to put the chess athletes in diapers.
You mean scholars?
And you have to sit there with no shoes and no clothes on, and you cannot get up to go to the bathroom.
I think that would be fine. That would be fine.
But naked chess?
Well, I'm telling you right now, and I know I've shared this story with you before.
Naked chess.
One of the most...
It's getting weirder by the minute.
One of the most competitive things I have ever been involved in my life is beauty pageants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm telling
you. You want to talk about athletes?
I am telling you right now.
Cutthroat, baby.
It is cutthroat. I have only judged 2 beauty pageants in my entire life. Miss Missouri 1 year, Miss Nebraska another year. Mm-hmm. And they have all the judges in a room. And before they bring in the ladies, because you have to do an interview with them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember one time in Nebraska, there was this one young lady from small town USA. I can't remember what town she was from. And normally, you know, there's a lot of training that goes in, and I'm not mocking pageantry. I found it fascinating. But a lot of these young ladies are, you know, of course they're beautiful. They're in great shape.
GPAs.
Yeah, and they train them on like how to do
interview
little one, because you had to interview every single one for 5 minutes.
Yep.
And most of them are bubbly and they're very energetic and excited and outgoing. There was one gal in Nebraska. Oh, she was dumber than a box of rocks.
Oh.
And I've, you know, as a trained, graduated journalist from one of the great journalism schools in America, I've always prided myself on the ability to carry on a conversation with even people I don't know. I mean, we got to about 2 minutes in. I'm like,
you're looking at your watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, where are we going here? But anyway, one of the things that they would always tell us before the gals came in was do not talk when you go to the bathroom. Do not talk to another judge. Do not talk to anyone.
No looking over at the urinal.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Just go to the restroom and don't say a word in the bathroom.
Yep.
I'm like, why? Because the dads will follow you in.
Wait, did you just compare urinal peeping to bathroom chatter?
No, that's what they were saying. You're not supposed to do that.
Well, every guy knows that you're not supposed to urinal peep. I mean, that's how you get into a fight. But anyway, the dads would come in, and if two judges went in together, oh, that's prime. And so dads would go flocking into the bathroom pretending they had to take
a... Are you serious?
I swear to God. Swear to God. And they would go in there to listen to see if... And for the women judges, if they went into a bathroom, the moms would follow them in just to see if they could get any information about who you liked, why you liked them. I thought number 14 it was a real superstar. Loved the way she answered some of those questions. She's beautiful, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. They would follow you in to get any possible tip they could get.
See, now I would take that information and start making things up.
Like, not go, actually go back out there and go, they said your daughter was ugly.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest. They said your daughter is ugly.
Dumber than a box of rocks, I tell you what.
She was, man. God dang.
Did we hold that one back a couple grades?
Let's just say she didn't. I'm not kidding you when I tell you all the girls in Nebraska had showed up in these beautiful dresses and everything, and their hair was all done up. This gal walked in, I'm kidding you not, with, they weren't sweatpants, but they were like a grade above
casual
sweatpants.
Casual wear. Let's call it casual wear.
And I'll never forget UGG boots.
Huh?
And I'm like, ooh. Let's just say she did not advance to the next round.
God.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Sad news here out of Mississippi, Simpson County, where three people have died. Four are in critical condition after a bridge collapsed in Simpson County, Mississippi. The injuries and deaths confirmed by the sheriff. According to the Mississippi Department of Transportation, a bridge over the Strong River on Highway 149 collapsed earlier this afternoon during what they are calling a work site accident. The bridge has been closed since last month as part of a bridge replacement project. A story here from CNN. Got a few hundred extra bucks that will buy you one person's access to Disney's new service at its U.S. parks, which allows you to go into a faster line at any time of the operating day once per ride without having to reserve it on an app. Mind you, that is in addition to the cost of your park ticket. The pilot launch of Lightning Lane Premier Pass, which was announced today by Disney, is being offered in extremely limited quantities. It is designed to be purchased and used by just a few guests. Translation, the rich. Yeah. The pass, listen to this. The pass will be priced per person per day, which means it's going to fluctuate based on date and demand. The lowest price for the Lightning Lane pass, the lowest price, is $137.39. In addition to the park pass that you have to buy.
Which is already $130.
Correct. The highest price you could be expected to pay for the Lightning Lane pass after taxes is $478.19.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll be available starting on October 30th. I know that you never went to Disney. Count yourself among the lucky.
I never fell for the scam that was you have to do this with your kids. And do the tea. And I never thought that that was something I felt an obligation to do.
We did take the kids.
Are you still standing in line?
I think so.
Definitely still paying it off.
And God bless Shauna. You know, she's a great mother to those two wonderful children. But I don't know if Shonda didn't get to go to Disney when she was a kid or not. But those days started at about 7 a.m. and went one night. We went to dinner with the princesses, which was awful. I still have nightmares. And I think we got back to the resort at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
We were out there for 15 hours.
Were the girls crying at the end of the night?
No, like, but I was. Yeah.
Hell, you were crying halfway through.
I was, man. I was crying. And this was back in my professional drinking days. And so when we would get back to the resort, I would just go.
It's on.
I would go straight down to the bar.
It is on.
And I would just be like, line them up. Sean, I'll be back in 1 hour in a completely different condition than I left. But no, I mean, it's just, it's, first of all, I don't like, I love people. I don't like large crowds.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like at a concert.
Large crowds, long lines.
Yeah. But like if I'm walking down the streets of New York City, I'm looking for a side street every once in a while just to get off the beaten path.
Sure.
Get away from just people bumping into you and everything. Disney is like walking down a street in New York City, a major street in New York City.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that I went to Disney as a kid. I have
no recollection.
Zero memory.
See, I do too. I'm the same way. I know my parents took me to Disney when I was a kid. Don't remember a thing.
We did a cruise. It was not a Disney cruise. And we docked one day and you could go spend one day at Epcot, I think.
Yep.
And I do remember that was fun. I remember that. Mom and Dad, and we hopped around. But we never did the, you know, that's an annual trek for some families.
Oh, Jake the Phone Snake on Johnny Dare's show goes every year.
Yeah.
Now, I will say Disneyland and Universal in California, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we went to Disneyland or Disney World, and because again, I have no memory.
You know that Jaws ride still creeps me out, and there's video of people on that ride, and it gives me nightmares. When that shark jumps out of the water in that,
where?
It was at Universal.
Oh,
it was one of the most expensive rides they ever had, and they shut it down, I think, to make room for Harry Potter.
I have not been to the Harry Potter world, but
you
I
should
go.
Sam, you like that? You should go.
I love Harry Potter.
I didn't know that about you.
Huge fan. Recently went back and watched all of the movies.
How many are there?
7. Well, technically 8, because 7 is 2 parts.
I'll be darned. Who knew?
Off of my mind. Is this Baby Come Back?
Yes, it is. By Player.
By Player?
You can blame it all on me.
That's a jam.
You can blame it all. I see what you did there, Sam. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in the United States, Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.